As they take control of parts of Iraq, U.S. and British troops are courting the majority Shia Muslim population. Shiites will be a dominant force in any democratic government. They've been brutally oppressed by Saddam Hussein's Sunni regime and could prove most helpful in ousting it. But analysts warn that Shiites may also prove a challenge to U.S. interests in Iraq. NPR's Jennifer Ludden reports.
When Pentagon officials discussed their strategy for entering Baghdad last week, religion popped up as something of a secret weapon. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Richard Myers, moved from enemy formations and artillery positions to a strategic assessment of Baghdad's population.
You got about 5 million residents, half of whom are Shia, that have been persecuted by the regime. Probably will not be friendly to the regime. They're basically on the eastern half of the city. You could assume that they might be helpful.
That assumption has been bolstered by events in the holy Shiite city of Najaf, 100 miles south of Baghdad. There, jubilant crowds welcomed U.S. troops, and on Thursday, a local cleric, Grand Ayatollah Ali Sistani, issued a fatwa instructing residents not to interfere with the Americans. But hours later came vivid proof that U.S. soldiers in Najaf tread a fine line. When a heavily armed U.S. patrol tried to visit Ayatollah Sistani, an angry crowd mistakenly believed the patrol was heading for the revered Imam Ali Mosque. CNN reporter Ryan Chikut described a standoff and then a turning point.
Grand Ayatollah's representatives on the scene and the soldier's commander both take very brave, very urgent, and very commendable, in my opinion, steps to try and defuse what has already become a very chaotic situation.
The commander ordered his men to get down on one knee, point their weapons down, and smile. They then made a respectful retreat. A possible disaster was avoided, but the potential for deep skepticism of U.S. motives remains. 12 years ago, after the Gulf War, Shiites rose up viciously against Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party officials. Then, when the U.S. failed to back them up, paid a heavy price. Dozens of senior clerics and religious scholars disappeared. Over the years since, the United Nations says more have died mysteriously in what it calls an apparent attempt to silence dissent. Other clerics endured years of house arrest. As U.S.-led forces look to set up new local administrations, they are now courting the Shiite clergy. Brigadier General Vincent Brooks in Qatar described a recent gesture by British troops.
A religious leader is being provided loudspeakers to do the call for prayer for the first time in 15 years in his area.
Political analyst Shibli Telhami of the Brookings Institution says many Iraqi Shiites are no doubt grateful, but he cautions that hating Saddam does not equal loving an American occupation of Iraq.
People have rallied behind this thought that whatever Saddam Hussein represents, America is out there to weaken the Muslim world. And so they're rallying not so much behind Saddam Hussein, but behind the need to confront.
Leading the anti-American rally are Iran, Lebanon's Hezbollah guerrilla movement, and Syria, all places with strong cultural and religious links to Iraq's Shiites. Telhami notes they are also the very countries and groups some Bush administration supporters talk of confronting next.
Well, those are certainly not objectives that would be supported by the majority of the Shiite community, and that obviously spells trouble down the road in mediating the government that is going to be established that will be friendly to the U.S. and future American policy objectives related to the broader Middle East.
Iraq's Shiites may be key to finishing off Saddam Hussein's regime, but they could be the wild card for what comes after. Jennifer Ludden, NPR News, Washington.